at the model of running sustain, if you look at the difference in the two, in the first and the last positional on this horse here, you'll see that it is constantly gaining, so like in the last two.
Yeah.
Would that be like an indicator for possible sustain horse?
Sure. Because if you are looking at a sustained track and a horse at least appears to be a sustained type horse, you want him in here. If you're looking at an early pace racetrack like Santa Anita at Oaktree in a sprint, anybody that shows a couple of ones in his first fraction, you've got to hold. Because last year, it was whoever got out of the gate first at Oaktree. Okay. We're kind of mixed. I personally wouldn't bet our Nordic here. But I pretty much think you have to keep him as a contender in terms of analysis here. And most of us agree to that. So, Roosevelt Road. Now here's a horse that's had two races now since March, in which he ran very well in a $25,000 race. His last race, he was troubled. Race before that, he ran on the grass. Who would keep this horse? Okay, who would not keep this horse? Okay, nearly everyone keeps it. Asher, you would not, though.
I would not.
Why not?
Well, just looking at the horse, even though it's coming off of a... It appears to have been running in higher class races. The horse hasn't done too much as far as early pace and even his closing ability is concerned. My gut feeling on this horse would be not to use him as a contender.
All right.
I got to caution everybody here, and that is this: the term you use, gut feeling, is dangerous in this respect. It is very dangerous in this respect. All right. And the reason it's dangerous is that you want to approach every race consistent with the way you approached the previous race. And if you don't have that thread of consistency, you start going down into some of those detours that I talked about. If this horse knocks him, let's consider the last race for a minute. He came from the number 12 post, which is suicidal, especially for a horse with no speed, and went very wide the final 5/8 mile. Okay, this horse had enough trouble to cost him a lot. Okay, unfortunately, that'll be the only pace line you've got. And if you look at this and the horse winds up number one or two sustained off that race, you've got to really consider him here. And I don't think you can eliminate him. Now, if he eliminates himself, and I guarantee you he does, if he eliminates himself, that's one thing. The majority of folks wanted to keep this horse in, so we will keep it in and work it. But the only caution I make is some people fly fine by the seat of their pants. Jim Bradshaw, for one. You know, you say, I don't like this horse, and you'll get rid of it, and go down to one contender. I mean, how do you make a model off one contender? Well, you don't. You just bet to win. And that's fine, but most of us cannot do that. So you've got to approach each race basically the way you approach the previous one. Yes?
There's also a tandem there with Felthorpe Burn.
There is tandem.
Only
he had a ton of trouble in that same race. So I would keep him in, and we agreed as a group that we would keep him in. Let's go to the other page. I beg your pardon?
Good workout.
34 and 1 breeze. Good workout. Very good workout. Yeah, especially for a router. Certainly.
I hate to use this system that I use along with this. Horses that get in trouble seem to get in trouble. They seem to figure out a way to lose, and this horse is one of those. Ran early, wide on the turn, took up wide. They just seem to do that.
Agreed.
When they do that. And he's a horse that comes out of the clouds, so he needs a perfect trip to win.
Well, he does, but on the other hand, suppose that he was very wide in the final 5/8 mile and still earned the best figure in the race.
Yeah, then I
okay, then he can get in the same trouble and win, can't he?
All right.
Okay. But see, the point is that if even with the trouble, if he turns out to be one of your contenders or one of your solid horses, then you've got to consider that if he has a clear trip, he wins for fun. Okay. And I got to tell you, I hate this horse. And the reason I hate this horse is that on March 22nd, I had one of my largest bets at Santa Anita on this horse. And he was a dead cinch winner and just stopped running. I mean, he took up so bad. And then, of course, he also made the very next Monday on the Trackman's comments. He made the Trackman's comments, right? And then you don't see him again for 4 months after that, so you can't take advantage of it.
I remember that race.
Thought Willie went double up in class. But I had it. I literally had it. This horse disappointed badly.
Side or sell? Now, this will be an interesting proposition here. Who wants to keep side or sell?
a hard one, but I'd have...
It is a hard one, okay. We have three takers here that want to keep cider cell.
More than that now. We have about five. Who would like to eliminate cider cell so I get a feeling of the mood here? Okay. Two people want to eliminate it. So out of 50 people, we have 5-4 and 2 against. Wow.
Well, for consideration in APV and things like that. Now, on my first, my own handicapping says that I keep a horse dropping in class if I can reasonably make a line or a figure for him.
Now, let's look at cider cell for a minute. Now, I'd be happy to keep him because in the next step, we're going to try to find pace lines. Now, here's a horse that's dropping $30,000 in class. Now, dropping in class and dropping $30,000 in class are two different animals here. Now, it's an old cliche, but if you owned a piece of property worth $50,000, you're going to come in here and offer it to us for $20,000. You know, they'll put you in a rubber room. I beg your pardon?
Where do we go? Oh, Golden Gate.
Yeah. Okay, but when that was on March 1st. He also wins what is probably a non-winner's, I'm trying to think of the background on this horse. It's either a non-winner's 1 or non-winner's 2 on April 15th up there. Now, that was his class on April 15th. And if he hasn't just gone to pieces since then, I'd really be surprised. I mean, a horse dropping that much in class, and what is he dropping here? 60% in class? That is that's damaged goods. But, I mean, I'll keep him in if you want, then we'll try to find a pace line, and we won't be able to do it. John?
A winner of 2 or 3, is it because he's won 5 races?
Okay, but most of his were 20 races.
Okay.
The conditions in that would have been non-winners of 2 other than maiden and claiming. Now, Jim?
Let's talk this one through,
because there's a mixed bag here.
I'm not in love with this horse, but I think it's a good horse to talk about because I know these types of things cause me problems at times. And in looking at this, I don't know that I would have... I can't honestly say that he's dropping from 50,000 because it's 50,000 at Golden Gate, and that to me doesn't equate to 50,000. I mean, he stuck him in at 50,000 at Del Mar, but, you know, look what he did. So to me, he's really not a $50,000 horse.
Okay.
And...
Could we tackle that before we go to the next one?
Sure.
Okay.
And that is a horse that on April 26th he ran against a horse called Rock Dancer, who has won here for 62.5. And Bright and Right is one of the better horses in the north and could win here at 50. In his race on May 4th, Tulsa Flyer runs around here for 32, not successfully, but nevertheless he's a $32,000 horse. His last race, in which Bob Latore's horse, Auto Commander, smashed him. That was a legitimate $50,000 field when you consider what Auto Commander and Teddy Naturally have both done out of that race. So to me, he is dropping considerably. I mean, but we keep him in. But let me speculate with you now. What pace line would you select?
I don't see, from the standpoint of having him be a contender to pick a pace line, I agree with you 100%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the question was designed for me to understand why you're placing a value of $50,000 on this horse when I don't see him as a $50,000 horse.
Neither do I.
But the drop is still there. I mean, often you see them drop like that, and you don't agree with the value on the horse in the first place. I don't agree he's a $50,000, but he was proven that now.
Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted, because it sounded like you were saying that he might...
I'm not saying he's a legitimate $50,000.
Okay.
Now, yes, the reason I like to keep the horse in, and I'm not in love with this horse, but basically, if we go back the last three races, he ran a 6.5 furlong, which apparently he doesn't like. He never choked much in a 6.5. You know, the two previous races are on the turf, and he doesn't do anything on the turf according to his past performances. So he's back on the dirt again at a proper distance.
Okay. His win, I'm trying to look at it, was in the mud. His previous good race, he opened up 6 and couldn't hold on. Now, the danger in keeping this horse in is that when you reach in and grab the pace line, you're going to promote him. He'll probably be the number one rated horse in the whole race. If you reach back and grab that fourth race back, it's one of those detours we talked about early on here. You're going to go down a blind alley. You've got to make evaluations like that in every race. I can see where you're coming from, and maybe you'd want to hold him for Quinella or exacto wagering. But if you make a practice of betting on a horse like this to win, especially one that has declined so badly in form, and you can't say his turf, you know, you look at his two turf races, right? And he got beat badly both times. And yet his turf record overall is very good. He's 1-5 win and 1-5 place.
They only won $1,900.
Sure. Okay, but it shows some affinity for the turf. That's a point. We got to straighten this horse out before we go on, because he'll kill us down the line. Bob?
The biggest thing you're saying is he's deteriorating in this form cycle.
Well, I disagree. He's coming back after being a freshman for me. He's got a couple good works. Maybe he's starting back up on his form. He might be a race or two away, but I don't really think he's deteriorating.
Okay, can I ask you another question then? And that is, let's go back to what we did with Slugfest. Would you like to do a quick computation of his early energy?
Oh.
To indicate whether or not he really does
want to stretch out at the moment.
You can see
49. Yeah, that was a disaster.
Now, again, off of the layoff, what would you, if you were Jim Flaherty's a trainer, how would you want this horse to react in his sprint? You'd want him to at least run evenly. Jim,
is that true? Show some willingness to go on. And this horse
literally kicked it in at the half.
And he really didn't get to the half yet. Let's finish this,
because he's critical to winning this race. Now, in actuality, he's not if you bet two horses, because if you promote him on top, he'll be the loser you get on the two horses you bet. I've got questions in several places. Yes?
I don't have a question, but this is the reason I threw him out. And that is because the horse is actually, he's been running pretty regular. And he hasn't run in almost a month and a half. And he really is not in any form cycle. I wouldn't put this horse in himself for that reason. He's had one workout on August 7th, and he doesn't have any regularity and any pattern at all. Like, there's something wrong with this horse. That would be my opinion.
Well, I'm just lying too. But
just looking at it.
Jim Flaherty, looking at this horse's work ahead, would this inspire a lot of confidence on your part?
No.
But there is a cycle in it.
I beg your pardon, what?
There is a spacing of effort.
Yeah,
July
big spacing.
July 30th to December the 13th.
Well, we're talking about the workouts now on Cytosol, right? July 12th, July 17th,
yeah, no,
13 days later he races.
You have to put the race in there.
Yeah, then he races 13 days later and works on the 7th.
Okay, I thought maybe the cycle would start on the 30th of July. He goes from the 30th of July to the 7th of August to the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
That's, the spacing of the effort.
Okay, those are scary, I would like to resolve this too, so don't apologize for anything you said there.
Right.
I agree that if we don't resolve this horse, we don't win the race.
I mean, he throws everything off.
I'm not making an argument to keep him,
mm-hmm.
but I'm saying that to say that it's not a cyclic thing is not, in my mind, a valid reason to eliminate him, because I do see a cycle.
Okay. We're talking about a one-race cycle, really.
And if you take that race all by itself, it's horrible.
It's the first race back after a layoff.
Yeah, but wouldn't you prefer to see something demonstrated in that race after a layoff before you went to the window to bet? He didn't demonstrate a thing.
No.
Not a thing.
In reality, Tom, do you take the pace line back to April when you're handicapping and all?
I would not.
No. I mean, even if the horse beats you, how can you take
it? I would take my chances against this kind of horse all the time.
Okay,
but we want to do this for 55 people, though, so that we're all off this horse when it's time to bet on our own.
Could this be one of those trainer traps where you put them up to 50,000 and make them look bad?
Well, I wouldn't think so, because he was running for 50 and successfully earlier in the year, so I doubt that. I mean, I would agree, like one of the successful parts of my week happened to be a horse called Jamshot the other night. Jamshot had run off of a layoff and run for 10. It ran for 10 or 12.5, got beat badly, routing off the layoff. Then the trainer sprinted the horse at 7 furlongs and ran a super race. Ran third, beaten a length and a half, and closed all the way down the stretch, right? Then the guy stepped the horse up from 10 to 55. But the horse was running two lengths behind at the half, I mean at the three-quarter mark, and only got beat five lengths for the whole thing, and beat four of those $55,000 horses, or 62.5 actually, and beat four of those. Now, when I handicapped that race, I by no stretch of the imagination thought that that was a $50,000 horse anymore. He had been early in his career, but I never thought that. But he was dropping off of a race in which he showed a ton at that level. And the other night, he came running down the stretch to pay a big price, $14. But he showed something. That drop down there, now that was clearly what you just described to me. There's a guy, 12.5, steps it up to 55. Not necessarily cloud its form, but to condition the horse, and then drops it back down. Now that you go for. You buy that all the time. This, we better not buy as a group, because we're all going to get in trouble down the line.
Yeah, I won that race because
Leadon
got in trouble in the
back stretch. Leadon, that was Auto Commander's race. Leadon wasn't in that. Leadon's a $50,000 horse, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I had two, that was the only day at Del Mar, and I had two fairly large doubles going. One of them to Bob Latore's horse, Auto Commander, the other to Leadon, which was twice the size for me. And Leadon did have a lot of trouble down there. But he also lagged back a little too far, too. Go ahead.
What's wrong with the logic of looking, you know, fall back and seeing the horse winning by three lengths at an allowance of 20,000 and now dropping into claiming ranks at about equal? I mean, I've seen so many horses that if they're capable of winning at allowance and dropping even into high claimants.
I agree wholeheartedly.
So I'm not sure what's wrong with that logic.
What's wrong with
the logic? Is it, you've got to take a stand mentally now. Is that the same horse that won by three lengths back there that you're seeing today with this huge drop in class and a light work tab? The work tab's almost non-existent. Okay, now is that the same horse? Now if this horse had been prepared, I mean, you see all the workouts and he'd shown something last time, then you can get a little more flexible because he's got an average purse value that exceeds the race. Chris?
Yeah, Tom, as a general question, what are your standards for recency? I mean, how far will you go back to take a pace line?
Take a pace line?
Depends on the person. We're going to talk about that in a moment. I stay pretty current. Until you get a horse that might be 170% of purse value, 180% of purse value, and then you can get a little flexible because of that class advantage, depending on what he's shown. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't pick this horse. Even if he was 190% of purse value, I could not, in my own mind, because of the class drop, because of what he showed last time, and because of that work tab, I could not, in my own mind, bet that horse. And I hope you'll agree with me before we finish, because that's going to cost everybody a lot of money. Once in a while, you're going to win her. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that. Everything wins.
Well, the last workout confirms his last race, right?
The 49 is not exactly flying for horses speed. But again, I don't know how Greenman works his horses, so I wouldn't, you're right, it does get some evidence there, but I wouldn't stand on that alone.
Yeah.
But that's not exactly flying.
Why could you not run an energy figure on the line equation? Have that give you an idea of whether you're going to throw them in?
That's what I said a little while ago. That was one of the arguments I made about 15 minutes ago on this one. That if you did that, we'll show no indication.
About this particular horse.
That's what I mean. Yeah. On this horse, I also mentioned that. But if you did the energy like we did on Slugfest, that you'll find that the horse has no inclination to run another step past the half. Can we agree now on eliminating this horse? Okay, good.
That's good, because even if you put him in, he would not have been in your top three.
All right.
With the Golden Gate penalty, you would have described.
Revolutionary. I don't think there's a lot of argument here. This horse has got to be a contender. Either one of his last races would be tough here. He's 138% of purse value. He's got an awful lot going for him. Plus, the trainer, if you're into that, has been doing very well at Del Mar. And then Tom.
We got to have Tom.
Got to have Tom in there.
Who would keep Tom in as a contender in a race?
Okay, now this is interesting. I got four yeses, five yeses. How many no's? And I got about 50 people, I get about five yeses.
176% steering.
Okay, there's a couple of
things going here, and that is his last race. Now, this seems to be a legitimate drop from 32 to 20. Whether you buy that or not, I'm sure it could be a source for argument. He's 176% of the purse value. Remember the type of racetrack we're looking at. His last race was after a month and a half off, and the type of horse we're looking for here is a sustained type horse. He's not going to win this race, all right? He doesn't. I'm telling you out front. So if you eliminate, but again, we talk exactas, we talk quinellas, plus we've got a horse that is well above the APV. Now on the Master Navajo, which was 163%, we have no pace line to pick. On Tom, we have a pace line on the day that Bernstein claimed him. Okay, can we keep Tom in this race? All right. We're going to talk about that. We're going to go to that now. So now let's...
I keep him in. I don't know why I don't put pace
on. All right, I kept him in. We're going to talk about that. That's exactly... That's the whole reason we're here. We're going to go through the entire process. All right, let's summarize for a moment. We've kept Fellthorpe Mariner in, even with that lack of back class over the last 8 or 10 races, because he is definitely part of this pace. And as we get a little further on, we also realize that there's not a whole lot of form in this race at the moment. Our Nordic, we kept in, a kind of a split decision on that one. Roosevelt Road, we kept in, basically because he's a sustained type horse. We kept Revolutionary in, and we kept Tom in. Now, if anyone has any violent opposition to any of this, please speak now, because we're going to go to pace lines. Yes?
Let's assume that we're extra nervous about one of those two horses that we talked about, and you've got Sanctus. Is that the end of the world, so far as the procedure is concerned? Just why not go with 7 contenders to break?
Well, I'll tell you, what happens is when you put horses in that don't belong, we're going to make a generic variant, which tends to be a little like UltraScan in terms of equalizing the race and promoting horses that may be slow horses. So you got to make that judgment first. Secondly, the more horses you put in, the more difficult it is to interpret your readouts, because somebody's going to have a little piece of sustained and somebody's going to have a little piece of early, without being a strong contender. But all of a sudden, the horse that with 5 legitimate contenders may have been number 2 sustained and number 3 early, because he loses a little ground to a sustained horse that really has no chances, all of a sudden 3-3 and off your model. You've got to get the race down to the viable contenders that can win the race for interpretive purposes.
Well, suppose now out of your 7 contenders, if you haven't had that number, you're getting 1s and 2s distributed all over the place. That would be a pass race.
Sure would. And if you have 7 contenders, if you legitimately have 7 contenders that can win the race, I would also consider turning the page of the racing form and going on. Okay. But in this race, we have 5 contenders, and of that 5, I would think a couple of them aren't really legitimate win possibilities here. And I've got to tell you why the magic number is 5 for me, personally, is because of all the record keeping I do in the model, the Brohammer model. If I don't have 5 horses on an average, now if I have a race down to 2 or 3 horses, I'll just go bet it. I won't fool around with it. But I like to have 5 in a race. And the reason I like to have 5 is kind of a solid number is that if you have the number 3 sustained pace horse or the number, say, 3 early, 2 sustained, right? If you've only got 3 contenders in, that doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot. He's the worst early. If you have 5 in and he's a number 3 early, then that tells you that basically he belongs in the middle of the field early. That's the kind of horse you're betting. So if you only have 3 contenders, your model means nothing to you. If you get a horse that's a 3-2, for example, it doesn't mean anything. Okay, so I try to get to 5. And I often mark my form in cases of horses like our Nordic and possibly Roosevelt Road. I normally mark my form that this horse, to me, you better not get fooled here and bet the horse to win. And you'll see what I think in the next example that I think I made that note on. I'm not sure. All right, let's go back to pace lines. Fellthorpe Mariner. Anybody. What pace line? The last pace line. For a lot of reasons. The primary reason being that it's at this level and it represents a horse's current form. Any problems with that? That's kind of an obvious one, isn't it? Chris?
Well, I'm concerned about that, his most recent pace line, as being a tandem with Roosevelt Road. And if you pick his latest pace line, then you're forced to go back on a Roosevelt Road to an earlier pace line.
Only if you can.
See, first of all, if you're really playing, if you're playing it as a tandem here, consider one thing. They have opposing running styles. Okay, so one may fit your model, one may not here. So right off, if they had the same running style, I'd agree with you probably on that. They have diametrically opposed running styles. If you go beyond that race, you're getting out of Felthorpe Mariner's, you're discounting the race he has, the only race he has really that's legitimate at this level. So you want to hold that. Now, if Roosevelt Road you want to get a little flexible on because of his last race, I wouldn't. I wouldn't go back to March. I think you're kind of locked into this, Chris. You can't make a stand here and throw out the first horse in the tandem, and the reason you can't do that is because he's the pace in the race, probably. Or at least a big part of it. So you pretty much have to live with it. Now, mentally, though, if you want to throw him out and use the second horse in the tandem, which would be Roosevelt Road, go ahead and do it. But in terms of analyzing this race, you're going to have this horse in there, because he will be a big piece of this pace. Any other questions on that?
They're not the standout horses in the race. If the tandem comprised the race and it had to be decided, then yes, but they're not that standout. I mean, the tandem figures are not the tandem. You don't have one-eyed Romeo. If you had one-eyed Romeo, then you would do just that.
Okay.
Well, I didn't follow the question or the answer.
Oh, well, he was discussing this in relationship as to being a tandem race. Are you into that, Manuel, yet?
Sure.
Okay. Had one-eyed Romeo been in this race, then it would be a classic tandem. But they are substituting Felt Top Mariner for One-Eyed Romeo and getting into a slight bit of trouble. But in so doing, they are not really the class of, or the pace of the race to that degree.
They finished second, third.
Right. They in this race are not that big a concern. You have some other contestants who would make them usable off their race. I'd go back one race if it weren't 14,000, but it was an entirely different class area. You have to use that one because that's the only thing he's ever done at this level.
If we're still down the right road and haven't detoured anywhere, Revolutionary's got to start looking pretty good to everybody. Okay? The problem is those detours that I talked about earlier. It's easy to make, all you have to do is make one mistake in here. One mistake and the race is gone, and now we've got five races and hope we win four of them.
What happens if we begin using averaging of two races?
Bad practice. Trouble. Bad practice. It was in one of the original manuals. And I think Howard regrets having ever put it in there.
But it said it was a dangerous practice at best, even in that manual. And we have demonstrated over the 4 years since that was written that averaging is just as bad with horses if you try to do it with people. You drag them down to the mediocre.
You just get the worst
of all worlds that way. Make a stand with it. Grab the pace line. Now, there's no reason that you can't. I mean, most of us have got PC3s with a variant program written into it. No reason why you can't take another race and just figure it quickly on the variant program and just write it in the side and see if it compares to the race you chose. And we'll talk about that here a little bit later, too. Let's go then to our Nordic. Anybody have any problem with using the last line on our Nordic? I wouldn't think so. Roosevelt Road? Yeah, unless you want to go back into March, you're kind of locked into the last one, but I got to tell you, you might make notes to yourself on your racing form regarding the trip this horse had last time. Okay. And realize that his figure might be a little better than you're going to come out with.
Is there any particular way you'd try to adjust that by coming up with any figures of your own?
No, and I'll tell you why. Somebody made the point earlier, and it was a good point. Now, if you look at this horse, he tends to get in trouble all the time. Okay, so if you did that, then you're saying that he's so trouble-free most of the time. I don't do that. And often you'll find the trouble and the horse will still be the best horse in the race, and then you're fine. I mean, you buy into it, even if you have the trouble, you win the race. But I also realize that when I'm starting to play exactas and things like that, I've got to realize that his figure may be a little better than it shows. But I wouldn't make any contrived rating adjustments whatsoever.
This is
last race is the best race the horse has ever run,
from the standpoint, other than the one at Hawthorne, from the standpoint of its speed rating, so you would only be penalizing him if you went back.
Sure. Well, when we make our generic variant, though, his March 22nd race would be much better than this race. If we were just using raw times, because he ran on a daily racing form variant of 10 last time. That track had to be awfully fast. I mean, at Santa Anita, ran on a track of 19. So it seems to me that I'm sure that Santa Anita race was much better than this. Revolutionary. Now, take a cut here. Take a choice. Which of the last two races would you like to use?
I beg your pardon? Anybody's either one. All right, it's split.
And I got to tell you, I worked it both ways. Either choice is correct here. When we make the variant here in a few minutes, you will find that those races come identical in terms of the class adjustments we're going to make and the rest of that. If you take the second race back, you have him at $20,000. If you take the last race back, you have him at $25,000. If you consider the difference between 20 and 25 to be major, maybe you want to use the second race back. I don't know. I used the last race here. But I also did a little checking with my trusty PC3 to see how these two races compare to one another. And there's nothing wrong with doing that because they were both good races and they both represent his current form cycle. Yes?
I haven't got recent publications, so I don't know how certain of the crowd are handling that mile distance at Holly Park. That's a goofy distance. I wouldn't touch a mile distance race for a raid two-turn track for another day.
I agree. That's another good point. Good point. And as I recall, that is one of the reasons I used the last race because I had the two-turn track. Everybody hear that? If you use the last race, you have a one-mile racetrack, and you have a two-turn route. If you use the previous race, you're into Hollywood Park, where you run a one-mile race around a turn, one turn. Okay, so you have a little more to go if you use the last race. He's right, absolutely right. Tom. I hear some... excuse me. I hear a little discussion in the background. Yes?
I want to make sure I understood you correctly. You say that you took the last two races and all the extra goodies and they come out the same figures?
They do come out the same,
okay,
yes.
So I just want to...
Okay, we're going to walk
through that whole process in a minute. Have you been any... How many... A quick show of hands. How many of you have been to one of these sessions in which I did the generic variant on the board and adjusted all the rest of it? Please give me a hand this time. I know a lot of you aren't raising hands, but let me know. Okay, then we'll have to step through it. The first time anyway, we'll have to go through it step by step again. Okay, but when we go through that, and I'm finished with it, I will tell you now that had we gone through and used the other race and done the same thing we're going to do, it comes up the same. Okay. Which is merely coincidental in this case. Tom. Last race at 32, or the second race back at 25, which is more the level. All right, somebody said neither. Third back. Third back is at 40. You don't care, even though he's probably not a $40,000 horse now. Okay, so you want the third back. Any special reason for grabbing a third back?
Well, I don't like to play race the last race before a layoff.
Okay.
And that's the only one?
Well,
okay, now that's a personal preference on your part. But if you use the last race before a layoff, which was the second race back, you'll also see the $15,000 drop in class. Now, if both of those races were at 25, your argument might hold a lot of water. But since the horse was dropped two levels into that race, I'd be very scared of going back and grabbing a $40,000 race. As it turns out, it wasn't much of a race anyway. But I'd get a little nervous about that.
Okay.
Because you have to kind of have to go with what you got. Who wants to use the last race now? Give me your hands.
Yeah.
Who wants to use the second to last?
Yeah.
Now, I agree with you. The second to last. And,
You use the last, you've got to put all zeros
anyway.
Yeah, you do. You throw him out. You treat him as a contender.
He is also 100, let's consider one thing. If he was 90% of the purse value, I'd throw him out to start with off of his last race. But again, here's a horse that dominates average purse value-wise. And that is also the optimum place horse. Whether you want to bet this horse or not, he's one of the optimum place horses. So what are you going to do with him to grab a pace line? You can be a little more flexible in the case of a horse with that kind of a APV. And the second race back, it was a terrible post position. If you realize the way a mile and an eighth is run at Hollywood Park, that outside 10 post when you don't have any speed, I mean, he had no chance in that race. He had a so fair race. He's beaten 4 3/4 lengths at the 25.
These races against each other on phase three to select.
That's what I, that's what, remember when I said you have your PC3 to quickly determine your race? I do that.
Sure. Can I just interject one thing? One of the things that I noticed in New York was that the people back there would go back, say, to that third pace line, and you can get away with that if you're doing UltraScan, because UltraScan, if you made it a legitimate contender, because UltraScan doesn't have that class adjustment, but going back to that third race bumps him way up in class. And with phase three, you're giving him credit for class that's not legitimate. So there is a difference between a phase three and an UltraScan pace line. And if you're used to using phase three, listen to Tom, but if you're using UltraScan, it's a little easier to go back a little further.
Just one comment on this horse, Tom. Those mile and eighth horses that are slow breaking come from binders. Well, almost always show your pace lines like this. They don't get out, then they pass some tiring horses, they never get up, and I used to get fooled on those, I don't anymore, because just the way you run mile and eighth at Hollywood, the speed's going to win. Mm-hmm.
That's right, it's a speed bias track.
So this horse will fool you, oh, he ran a nice race and pulled the ground. Well, they always do that. They start slow and then they close and never win.
Okay, where else would you go with it?
To Caliente.
Actually not, he ran very well.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I agree with you that, and to me that's another argument that second race back is actually a fairly solid race because he has no chance. From that post position and against that bias, he really has little chance over there. Once in a while, the closers will get that mile and an eighth only because the speed horses weren't worth a damn. Yeah, there were several of them that got up over there, but for the most part, they're not going to do it. All right, now, we've got pace lines. Let's go through the rest of the process. How many of you have got PC3s or something that has a variant program you can work with in here? Okay, work along with me then. The rest of you, I'll put the numbers up on the board and all the rest of that. I want to mention one thing here, and that is you have two types of variant program available here in this room. So if you don't make the same identical number that we make up on the board, don't worry about it because you're using a slightly different program. One keys into total energy, and for that, that's mostly the UltraScan folks. The other keys into pace variant or par energy, and that is the one that we're going to be putting on the board. The differences are relative, so don't worry about that one if you don't make the same identical number. There are two variant programs that exist in this crowd, mainly because we have two approaches to the game. We have the phase three approach and we have the UltraScan approach. The two variant programs that work with each of those give you slightly different numbers because they're keyed to a different factor. But the differences are relative. In other words, if you use one consistently, you'll come up with the same basic difference that you use on the other. Just don't be concerned if that number goes up on the board, the other number. The one you don't have. Phil Thornton Mariner, R. Nordic, Roosevelt, Revolutionary, and Tom. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to make our own Meridian variant or generic variant for this race and adjust it for class. Pardon? And a couple of ways we can approach this. One of the things we have to do is we have to take the pace line selected for each one of these contenders and run that pace line through the variant program using no beaten lengths and using no adjustment on it. Just run it through raw. And that will give you a number that identifies the quality of the race you selected overall. Stop me if you don't follow this.
You can use phase three then for that.
Yes, this is going to be phase three because that's the way I think.
Okay.
Okay.
UltraScan's the same thing. I mean, yeah, go ahead and do it the same way.
You can run
Well, you have a part energy. That's the other program. That's what I'm mentioning. There are two different approaches to this, depending on which way you go.
Could you kind of work through that on the blackboard?
Yeah, I will.
I need my PC3. The first thing we have to do is we have to identify the relative strengths of the race that we selected. And then we're going to adjust for class and work this race. Now, the way we do that is you take the Felthorpe Mariners race and run that through the variant program. And I'll provide the numbers here. That race was at 8.5 furlongs. The second call time was 1:10.1. Final time, 1:42. And we'll use no beaten lengths here because we want the race itself, not the horse in this case. Now that race figures, you'll write that down as raw, okay, 55.27. Now that's the pace variant for the race that Felthorpe Mariner was in. Let's take our Nordic, same distance, 109.4. 1:42.1. Now make sure you can do this because this is one of the most powerful. If you can't make these adjustments, this is the biggest detour of all. If you can't make these adjustments and if you can't make them consistently right, you're going to go sideways in this. The pace variant for this horse then, or for that race, is 55.28. Now, if you're working along with me and getting these numbers, if you're getting something really sideways, let me know if you're using the variant program, the pace variant program. Yes?
That's a real dumb question here. I get the number, but where does it come from?
Where does it come from?
Yeah.
It is a quick computation of second call, okay? Let me back up just a bit. It is a quick computation of factor W. Quick and dirty. That gives the factor W rating basically for that race the horse was in. And it's computed the same way factor W is computed in your main program.
Factor W, I was making clear, is the same as total average. Are you using
average pace? Okay, average pace, call it whatever you'd like. Okay.
Now this race will take us the longest of the five. Don't be concerned here. Mainly because we're getting format. What did you get for our Nordic then?
54.5.
Okay, you're okay. You're okay, it's just a little bit off. I wouldn't worry a whole lot about it. When you're talking about 0.04, 0.05, I don't know how your variant program is computed, but as long as you do it the same way all the time, you're okay. Trust the numbers that are on the board. Okay.
I don't understand. I got 54, 57, 54, 36.
Then you're probably using the total energy program.
You're using it. Yeah, see, that's the one I said, don't worry about it. They're going to be much lower. Much lower. Don't worry about it. Uh-huh. Principle applies. I mean, maybe once in a while we'll get a little different horse, but we'll break even in the long run.
I'd like to put it in myself later on, so what are we using then?
We'll talk about that. We'll get to that later. Okay. All right, we have Roosevelt Road's line, which is 55.27. It's in the same race with Felthorpe Manor. Okay. Revolutionary. 1:10.2, 1:42.2, 55.07. Tom, I'm sorry, did somebody already give that?
Yeah,
54.34. That's it. Okay, now what we have to do, we have to establish a median variant here, a generic variant that we're going to apply to all the horses. Then we're going to adjust that for class. Now the way we get to that is to take a number somewhere in between and adjust them all to that number as our first step in the process. Then we'll adjust for class. Remembering that we're not adjusting the horses, we're adjusting those races that they were in. Please keep that in mind. We're not averaging everybody yet horse-wise. Those were the races they were in. Two ways you can do that. You can average all of those and take the average. The other way you can do that is to just pick from a part-time chart what that kind of a field normally runs, or you can just take one of those horses and adjust them all to it. Now what I choose to do is I have a part-time chart that I work with, or I make a daily variant and all the rest of that. I'm used to working with certain numbers at certain class levels. And at this particular class level, 54.60 is just about right. And so I, for my own purposes, and you can kind of fudge now, you can turn to page 19, page 17.